Hey, indie filmmakers, I'm Griffin Hammond.
I'm Nick Bodmer, and today we're telling the story of what happens when GoPro shuts down your Kickstarter campaign.
It's a sad story. Actually, it's a happy story, I think.
I don't know the story, so I have no idea what we're talking about. I just read the line you told me to read.
So you're my good friend, Nick, and you support everything I do, but I have a feeling that you probably don't watch my regular weekly show on Indie Mogul.
I sometimes do. But yeah. I have not recently.
Yeah.
Would I have already known about this had I watched your show?
Yeah, but I banked on the fact that you wouldn't because I thought it would make for a good podcast episode.
I did just have a baby. It's not my fault. I do normally watch your material, Griffin.
Yeah.
I promise.
Well, I mean, I don't watch my own show. I tape it, and then they edit it over at Indie Mogul headquarters. And actually, sometimes I do watch it to make sure it looks okay.
All right. So should I watch this video you sent me?
Yeah, so for people that watch Indie News regularly on Indie Mogul, if you weren't aware, I have this show on the Indie Mogul YouTube channel where I talk about camera gear. There was a story that we've talked about the last couple weeks, and I want to introduce Nick to it for the first time. So just take a look at this video, and I want you to describe what you're seeing.
Okay. I'm seeing a filmmaker man, and we're seeing lots of, Matrix bullet time looking footage. As people jump in beautiful places.
What are they doing that's creating a Matrix-style shot?
It looks like he's got he's got his hand up in the air. So, it looks like a camera on a rope swinging around.
Exactly.
Oh, and that is what it is. Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's designed in such a way as to keep it always pointed towards the center of the circle that it is inscribing.
Yeah. It's an action cam on a like a boomerang looking thing with some strings.
Yeah. Okay.
It's such a simple product, isn't it?
Very simple. You'd buy this and then you'd use that shot once and never ever want to use it again, I feel like, but
yeah, that was my one big critique of the product. It's kind of like it's like when Alton Brown on the Food Network said
a multitasker.
Or he calls it a unitasker.
A unitasker,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Only like one unitasker does he allow. Do you know what it is?
I don't remember.
Fire extinguisher.
Ah, yes, yeah.
Other than that, every tool should have more than one job.
Yeah. But this is a clear unitasker. You spin the camera around your head. You get a really cool shot for your Instagram. It has to be slow motion or this just doesn't work, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. And I'm guessing it has to be pretty bright and pretty high frame rate or it's going to be a blurry mess.
Yeah. Well, I think if you shot this at just normal 30 frames a second, spinning a camera around you, it'd be pretty, nausea-inducing.
Okay. So I look at this product. I say, clever, kind of stupid, not something I'm interested in, but you're telling me there's more to the story.
Well, yeah. I just thought it was an interesting product. We talked about it on Indie News. And weirdly, the moment we shared it on Indie Mogul, like right when we published it, I don't think it was because of us. I think it was just a coincidence. The Kickstarter campaign for this thing was shut down. Just suspended.
Okay.
And this was, Kickstarter shut it down, but it was because they received a DMCA takedown request from GoPro.
Okay.
Can you imagine why they would do such a thing?
GoPro is worried people are going to smash other people in the face with a GoPro camera and they're going to get bad PR?
Actually, that's a really great theory.
But not correct.
I just assumed it was because their video is full of GoPro cameras. They're talking about GoPros. It's, the GoPro logo and name is being used all over this Kickstarter campaign to describe the product. In fact, I could pull up the actual... pull up what they actually said. So what's kind of cool about a DMCA takedown request is you do get to see why it happened. So this says, description of infringing material, products featuring GoPro trademarks are offering commercial services under GoPro trademarks and or displaying GoPro trademarks for the purpose of advertising products and or services. It's a very broad, boilerplate
But
statement.
Saying don't use our name and logo makes it seem like it's something we made.
And actually, I think it's interesting that it didn't come from GoPro. It actually comes from Pointer Brand Protection and Research. So I guess they just outsourced this.
Sure. Okay.
So it was kind of unfortunate timing because we had just posted the video talking about this Kickstarter campaign. Kickstarter shut it down. So I went back to Artem Gavra, the Ukrainian filmmaker who created this small product. It's a relatively small Kickstarter campaign because he was asking for $1,100, and I think he had already reached that. And so we included
that
some comment from him.
Like enough money, but okay.
Well, I mean, I like Kickstarter campaigns like this that ask for low amounts. Like this, that's what I did with Sriracha, right?
Right, but you're not trying to manufacture a product. But okay, yeah, I'm with you.
But I think his feeling is like I already have the means perhaps to make this product, so I'm not gonna, you know, if people give me $2,000, am I really gonna say no? I can't take your money because I didn't reach my $5,000 goal. I kind of like setting a $1,100 goal, and then even if you need $10,000, but you already have a way to get that or something, to me that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
So I reached out to him just to ask if he was going to continue, and we included some of his comment in the next Indie Mogul episode. And then since then, what hasn't been covered in Indie News yet is the fact that he is now back online. They let his Kickstarter. And actually, I think
to remove some trademarks and things like that, and they backed off?
I mean, he wasn't entirely certain, so... I don't think Kickstarter gave him a ton of direction. So what he did is he went back in and he edited his video. He took out the GoPro stuff, which I thought he was going to go in and like surgically remove things and replace them with other shots. I realized he just cut out like the whole middle of the video. Took what was a 2.5 minute video or something and cut it down to just something really short, where I think he just pretty much shows the final shots you get from the product and doesn't really show much about the product with the camera on it and everything. Which I suppose makes sense because he had already fully funded the thing, and so he didn't really need to get a bunch more backers. So Kickstarter actually put him back online with kind of like nothing had ever happened.
I'm looking at his Kickstarter right now. It looks like it's just up and normal.
Yeah, it's like from the moment they suspended it to the moment they brought it back online, they just like put him back at where he was. So I think he still had a week left of Kickstarter campaign. So actually, I think by the time we publish this podcast, it may have already ended, and he will, assuming all goes well for the next 19 hours, he'll be successful.
He's successful. Well, that's good.
With a $9,000 backing he was asking for $1,100. What is the price? I'm not on the page right now. What is the price of the product?
You can get yourself a Wingo for $55.
Ah, so yeah, relatively inexpensive for filmmaking stuff.
Yeah, they had some cheaper ones for like the very first people, but that's what it's at right now.
So I asked him what he had to do, and I mean, he cut down the video. He took out mentions of GoPro, but I think probably the most important thing was, can you tell what the original name of his product was versus what it is now?
Wing GoPro was it before, and now it's his Wingo?
Yeah. You just guessed that.
I did. I'm very clever.
Yeah. There was a space between Go and Pro, but I'm guessing that's primarily why GoPro had a problem with it, because there are plenty of other Kickstarter campaigns that have GoPros in them.
GoPro, yeah. And GoPro probably kind of likes that because it makes them seem like the de facto standard, which I guess they kind of are.
Right. Yeah, you're not showing a Sony action cam on top of the Wing GoPro.
Right.
But even other Kickstarter campaigns used the name GoPro even in the title of their product. Like they'll say the whatever strap to connect your GoPro to your,
Right.
But I guess they weren't putting it in the actual
product
name. Yeah.
More like the subheading.
But he said Kickstarter even had a problem after he made his first round, his first pass, and then they didn't tell him what he had to do differently. But I guess he went back through his copy in the product description and found one more mention of GoPro. So he scrubbed that, and then, or maybe the old name was still there, Wing GoPro. So he got rid of all that, and now he's good, I guess.
Cool. So did you actually interview him for your show?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really actively doing a ton of journalism for Indie News, like besides researching products and trying them out myself. I'm not usually asking people for comment and doing interviews, but he actually sent me a message just to say, hey, it was so cool to be on Indie Mogul. I'm a big fan of the channel. and, you know, thank you for doing that episode. I'm sorry that my product got kicked off Kickstarter. And that just started a dialogue. And I said, well, as long as I have you here, maybe you want to record some... he actually, like, recorded a video message for Indie News.
Oh, that's cool.
As if I had interviewed him, yeah. And then just out of curiosity...
Well, now you have to tell the exciting conclusion on the next Indie News.
Right, yeah.
It is kind of a little 3X story, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a lesson for anyone who wants to involve GoPro products in their Kickstarter campaign. There is a line you can't cross, and that line appears to be naming your product after their product, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Are you there?
But I think had he not named it that, he probably could have gotten away with lots of GoPro trademarks appearing in his video.
Sure.
Yeah. It's also interesting because I think about DMCA takedown requests a lot on YouTube as a way to take down videos that include your video copyrights, but I haven't really encountered them much in, like,
trademark disputes.
Yeah.
Well, you need more trademarks.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
No one's ever sent me a DMCA takedown for, like, me including their trademark in my video.
Right. But it was a product, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's also an important distinction for people who don't understand copyright and fair use. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Wingo Pro is in the title of our Indie Mogul episode. It probably was.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, we are reporting on something that's actually called Wingo Pro, or if we were making a video about GoPro Hero 7 versus Hero 6, like, we're allowed to do that.
Right.
Because we are discussing the merits of this product. But I think the moment we say we're selling a Sony action cam and we call it the GoPro
the Sony
killer.
GoPro action killer.
Right. Then we have a problem.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Good. Happy conclusion. Very exciting.
Speaking
tremendous
of Kickstarter,
stuff.
I backed a Kickstarter campaign that I thought I was not going to back. I think we had a
whole
episode.
We talked about it. You said you weren't going to back it, but you realized that I was wise and you should probably just copy me.
Yeah, I ended up getting the Peak Design travel tripod, which we devoted a whole episode to. I was sure it was too expensive, that I really don't need it. I mean, I honestly don't need it, but I think I just was starting to get buyer's remorse before, or like, what's the opposite of buyer's remorse?
FOMO?
Unbuyer's remorse, yeah, FOMO.
Of missing out.
I think I was realizing how much I talk about the value of traveling lightweight and how often I do travel with tripods, and I just thought, this is a tripod that is designed for me.
for you, yes.
More aptly.
And you're
going
to pay
hikers.
A premium. And you got the carbon fiber, right?
Yeah, I got the expensive one.
How much was that?
I don't even remember. I think it was like $550 or something. Was it over $500?
Jeez.
Or was it... Nah, I might
be lying.
It was
$500 or $600. Hang on, let's look. Kickstarter travel tripod. I misspelled every word of my Google search, but it still worked. I'm a backer. Campaign. So I backed it for $289 for the aluminum travel tripod, and you backed it for $479 the carbon fiber. Now, the retail price of that will be $599. So you did.
That's
you saved a significant sum.
Yeah.
Whereas I only saved a moderate sum since the aluminum will be $349.95. I wonder how fast they're going to get this out. I know they're saying December, but I have a feeling they're padding that quite a bit. We might see them sooner.
Well, and the funny thing, maybe it's irony, maybe it's coincidence of this episode, is I think it was probably because I was spending so much time on Kickstarter researching the Wingo Pro for Indie Mogul.
And you just kept seeing this thing pop up or something?
Well, I was getting a barrage of Kickstarter-related advertisements on Facebook. And so it was showing me the travel tripod all the time. And I think
that's
I was just like...
awesome.
And I think, you know, and it even said, like, one day left, travel tripod. And I was like, man, I do want that thing, don't I?
It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It looks pretty sweet.
It was definitely a splurge buy, but it does seem to, like, fit my my brand. Maybe not my low budget brand, but
now what's funny is you'll spend all this money on filmmaking equipment, but you don't seem real interested in spending much money on film viewing equipment. Am I right or wrong about that?
You're right.
I'm talking about home theater.
You've always made fun of me for my 37-inch television.
Yeah. So we should talk about that, because I just made some major home theater upgrades.
Oh, cool.
I'm in the process of.
Well, before we do, let's thank our sponsor this week, and then let's talk about the things we both are hoping to buy for our home theater system.
Haney Filmmakers is brought to you by Squarespace. From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business.
So I should mention something that made me really happy about my Squarespace website. It's actually a pretty simple thing, but it just really made my day the other day. Because I was thinking how I wouldn't know how to build a search functionality into a website, but just the basic template that I'm using has one already built in. I think you just click it on or off. And someone asked me a simple question like, hey, can I get your release form that you use for talent? And I don't even know where I have that. So I just went to my own website.
You searched your own website.
I just typed in the word form and found episode 22 of our podcast where we talked all about licensing music and talent release forms and things like that. So I sent him that
Perfect.
Link. I just thought, like, search I know is one of those things, because I did my master's thesis about search technology. It's not like an easy thing to implement necessarily.
No.
So I appreciate that it worked well and out of the box.
And it was just a click button. Did they charge you extra for that search box to add that to your website? All inclusive. Gotta love it.
I feel like there's so many features I could be talking about on my website, but I'm talking about the search bar.
Search bar.
Get your search bar. No, I will say that you can check out squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you are ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/griffin to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Fantastic. Thank you, Squarespace. Okay, so I'm upgrading my home theater. So you've seen my home theater before, right? You've been to my house. We've got a room that's kind of blacked out. I've had a 106-inch screen and an old sharp projector. I kind of inherited this home theater from the previous homeowners and, been slowly upgrading it. So,
well, yeah, clearly they converted it to a theater when that's not what it was intended to be, because it has a giant window behind the where the
screen
is.
It's a dining room. It's a dining room. It's right off the kitchen. I got really lucky. I tried to convince my wife that I needed to convert a dining room to a home theater, I think that would have been a no-go. But we moved into the home, and it had already happened. And so it was just like, oh, yeah, that's the theater room. So that was fantastic. So one of the problems I was having is the image was always kind of a little washed out because the walls of the room are very light-colored. So the light would shine off the screen, onto the walls, and then back onto the screen, kind of washing it out.
Oh, okay.
So I have purchased triple black velvet fabric from, like, an online fabric store, and I've lined the walls and the ceiling around the screen with triple black velvet. So,
because when you first showed me a picture of what you're doing, I was very confused, because you were saying you were putting this velvet material around the screen, and I thought you were it was on the far wall with the screen, but are you actually saying you're covering the walls next to the screen?
Yes, exactly right. So the ceiling and the ones next to the screen, although I did also cover behind the screen because of what you said. There is a window behind there. It's blocked, but I felt like it wasn't blocked very well.
Yeah.
And I just wanted it to look kind of like a black void up there where the screen is. So behind the screen and now all the way around the screen is covered in triple black velvet.
I got a new... How do you put velvet on the ceiling?
Staple gun.
Okay.
I probably didn't do a very good job, but it's very dark in there, so you can't really tell.
Right.
I'm not very good at this stuff. The screen that was up was like kind of a low quality screen, and I could see all these like imperfections in the screen, like especially when the camera would tilt in or pan in a film or something, you could see like lines on the screen, you know, it wasn't like perfectly even, and it just like nobody else noticed, but it drove me crazy. So
yeah, it drove me
this
crazy
all started too. Because I was like, I need a new screen, and I was like, well, if I'm gonna get a new screen, I'm gonna get a bigger screen. So I wanted to get a 120-inch screen, which was the biggest that would fit in that space. And then I was thinking, well, if it's that close to the edges, the wall spill is gonna be even worse, so I gotta do the black velvet. And then I realized my current projector wouldn't project that big, So I was like, well,
that was gonna be my next question. Are you gonna
upgrade the projector? It was an old DLP projector. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but on DLP, which has the spinning color wheel, when things move quickly or when your eyes move quickly, some people see this like rainbow trail effect. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
And I see that like crazy. It doesn't bother me a ton, but I see it all the time. Another reason to get rid of the old projector. So I bought a 4K HDR Epson projector.
Yeah.
So this was a projector. It was the Wirecutter's like lower priced pick because it was like $2,500 like last year. They just released a new version that's a little bit better, but not like crazy better, and it's $3,000 or on sale for like $2,800. And I was gonna get that, but then I found you could get the old one as a certified refurbished with the full warranty for $1,100 from Epson's website.
Yeah.
So it's the Epson 5040UB that I got refurbished for $1,100. And
could you manage to find it with a relatively low lamp hour?
They put brand new lamps in all the refurbished because it's coming from Epson.com. And in fact, they have a rebate right now.
Those lamps probably cost $250 or something.
$200-$300, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a rebate that gives you another free lamp that they'll just mail to you to have for when you need
a
new lamp. So it's a great deal. I mean, even though it's not like the highest end, just for the value, you couldn't beat it. So I picked
my projector, which is old. I mean, it's probably not nearly as nice as yours, but I also got it like certified refurbished with a low.
Right.
I think it had like 10 hours on the lamp, and I got it for $500.
Is yours even HD?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a 1080 projector.
I'm messing with you a little bit because I know you, your home theater setup upsets me. I haven't mounted it to the ceiling yet. I bought a new mount because it's a much bigger projector. I wanted something more secure, and actually the last piece I needed arrived today, so I will be mounting that bad boy up, and it's gonna be good.
Perhaps the biggest challenge with your home theater system is that you got this 4K HDR projector, but how do you possibly watch 4K HDR content?
Well, I have a Roku Premiere, which is 4K capable, so that'll do like Netflix and stuff like that. And, you know, I have a Plex server, and I run Plex, so I've been trying to figure out how to do 4K HDR off of that, but that's a little confusing. So now I'm thinking I need a 4K HDR Blu-ray player.
Right.
It turns out, like, one of the cheapest ways to get that is an Xbox, like the Xbox One. They have the S and the X, both which do 4K UHD Blu-rays. And I've got a PlayStation already. I don't really need it for the gaming, but it can't hurt to have a nice 4K gaming system in there. So I'm thinking maybe I might go pick up an Xbox One X and throw it in there.
Is a 4K HDR Blu-ray player more expensive than an Xbox?
They're about the same price. You're going to pay. I mean, I'm sure there's like
cheap. And one of them can play games.
One of them can't. Exactly. Now, the only thing, now I'm getting into technical details. The 5040UB doesn't have a full 18 gigabits per second HDMI chip, so the projector I got will not do 4K HDR at 60 frames a second. It'll do it at 24, like a film, so for movies it's fine, but for high-end gaming, it actually isn't fast enough, and there's a box out there called an HD Fury, which will take a 4K HDR 60 frames per second signal and do some like downsampling of like the color depth or something from like 422 to 420. I could be saying that wrong, but tell me if that sounds about right.
Sounds right.
And then it'll work with this projector. So
cool.
That's kind of the game plan right now. I'm pretty excited. And you just were recently asking about upgrading your audio experience for your home theater. And it sounds like you want to spend about $7 or so to make that upgrade. Is that
right? No. I'm willing to spend more money. My system is not nearly as complex as yours. I don't have any blackout curtains in my apartment. But my challenge, and maybe some Indie Mogul listeners, what show am I on right now?
Hey Indie Filmmakers, starring Nick Bodmer with Griffin Hammond.
Maybe some Hey Indie. Hey, Indie Filmmakers audience can help me with this. You may have some ideas. Because the problem I have is we're thinking about getting rid of our 37-inch TV, mostly because we're worried that our child is going to like pull it onto himself.
Let's stop and say that again. They have a 37-inch TV as their only TV in the whole house. Continue.
Well, and we realize we don't even need the TV that much because we don't watch it when he's around because he's too young to really be watching anything
right.
or getting anything from it intellectually. And so we just don't, we just listen to music during the day. And then at night when he goes to sleep, we watch TV. And it's like, why are we watching on this tiny TV when we have the projector pointed at the wall? So we may just go 100% projector. But the biggest challenge here is that I have these two USB speakers that are intended to be, I think, monitors for editing. And so they have like
they're
a crazy
Mackies,
amount
right?
of, they're what?
Mackie powered speakers.
Mackie?
Isn't that the brand?
No, they're Alesis.
Oh, I'm a liar.
And they're like USB speakers, but I use them plugged in through through quarter inch to a little switch that I have for all my HDMI devices. And they have way too much frequency, and not frequency response, like dynamic range, like or like the volume is just, it gets really low and really high. I think that's intentional because they're supposed to be monitors, not really like home theater speakers. So I actually bought from Guitar Center like a $30 used compressor, like an actual analog compressor device.
Okay.
And I dialed it all up. I actually bought this when we were going to watch like the Game of Thrones finale because my concern was we were going to have some friends over and we were doing this thing where I was like, every time the dragons come out to roar, we have to like go over and turn it down. And every time there's dialogue, we have to go turn it up because there's just too much distance between these volumes. So I got the compressor to kind of normalize it, which is kind of working. But I have the compressor and we don't have any volume control over these speakers remotely. I have to like go up and change the volume. And now with like a sleeping baby, it's just, I feel like this is too complicated. I should get rid of the speakers, get rid of the TV. Just get a sound bar that I can control with a remote and
like magic. For the record, even though my home theater system is intense, it sounds like yours is more complicated than mine.
Yeah. It's stupid complicated. I don't know why I've like patched all these things together when I should just go out and buy like a, I could probably spend somewhere between $70 and $300 to just get something that just plays what's playing to the projector. But what's driving me crazy is all these products kind of seem like they're designed to boost what you already have on your TV or to replace the TV audio. So they all are like super powered. They all have like subwoofers and multiple speakers, or they're just not really made for projectors. Like it seems like they're all designed to kind of hook up to a TV. And I want
have you considered just getting a receiver and a couple bookshelf speakers and being done?
That already seems too complicated. Like, I don't need a whole receiver. I just need one basic speaker system that's all in one that plugs into HDMI.
You could get, like, a little stereo amp then, you know, just a tiny stereo amp. They have little ones that are just the size of, like, a paperback that you could use with two bookshelf speakers. And but, yeah, I think a soundbar is perfect. Get a, those Vizios are cheap, and they sound pretty good. I have a Vizio soundbar for my TV that isn't in the home theater, and it works great.
Yeah. Well, and I saw at least one of those does have HDMI pass-through, which would be nice. I'd like to plug in the Roku into the soundbar and then pass the HDMI out to the projector. That would make the most sense
right.
for me.
Well, and you have an HDMI switch, right?
Yeah.
And do you have multiple HDMI devices?
Yeah, because we have like the Roku, we have a PlayStation, we have a...
So yeah, you just run the switch, everything into the switch still, switch out to the soundbar, and soundbar out to the projector.
Although the HDMI switch also has 1/8-inch, 3.5mm audio out.
Oh,
so,
well, then even easier. And then you can just buy the cheapest Roku or Vizio soundbar.
Well, that's what I wonder. Like,
run,
is there a reason
the
to do audio over HDMI? Is it any better than...
Not if you're not going to do surround sound. If you want surround sound, there is. But you apparently don't. I'm not quite sure why. You don't want to just have two little wireless
remote
speakers.
Our room is so small, and I just don't think
I'll
even
care. Isn't
there
room behind the couch there, though, on like a windowsill or something where they could sit? Am I making that up in my head?
And we have some windows behind our couch that we could put it on,
Just saying. Surround sound.
The
nice.
Only thing that could sell me on getting satellite speakers, surround sound speakers, would be, will it mean that I don't have to turn the system up as loud? Like, if there's speakers near me, behind me...
No, you don't get dialogue through those, right? It's just surround information. So you just hear when the dragon flies over your head, it sounds like it flew behind you.
My
it's
main
cool,
concern
though.
Is the wall behind the soundbar is where my son sleeps, and that's when we're watching all our content. So I would love something that's
But I don't think it's going to be crazy. You just
not
have
too
to
bassy,
regulate the volume. I'm going to also add two Atmos speakers, which I forgot to mention. I haven't done that yet, but that's the height speakers that go on the ceiling and fire straight down, so that it sounds like things are above you, too. So I already have the surrounds, and now I'm going to add the height Atmos speakers. So I'm going to have a 5.1.2 system.
Oh, the 0.2 is these other things, because they're not, they don't have like their own channel, do they? They just take...
They do have their own channel.
Oh.
If I'm a true professional...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You need to be mastering your stuff in like 7.1.4, I think, would be the ideal format.
Yeah.
So, get to work. Griffin, we're running way over. What are we doing?
Yeah. How are you even doing this? Doesn't your camera have a 30-minute time limit?
Oh, well, should we say goodbye now that I realized I was an idiot and don't have any video?
Yeah, we should do that.
I want to apologize to the Hayne
Real
filmmakers
quick,
community. Go.
Before we go, I do want to say that I will be at Pixel Photo Fest in Cleveland, Ohio from September 13th through 15th. So come see me there if you are in Cleveland or in the Ohio area.
I will not be there, but that sounds fun. And again, I apologize for the video cutting out. I forgot that I have a Sony camera with a stupid... 30-minute limit. So, everybody likes Griffin's face better anyway.
Yeah, they get to watch this cool blue light environment that I created behind myself.
It's beautiful. All right, my friends, we will talk to you later.
Yeah, see you next time.
See you, Griffin. Bye. I totally forgot. I was so wrapped up in... I give up. It can't be that much, because my audio recording is only 34 minutes long.